on we go here as we push forward into Revelation 17. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who is seated upon the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and with the wine of whose fornication the dwellers on the earth have become drunk." So now, what about this harlot? One of the things we mentioned before, remember when we were doing especially Revelation 12 and 13, we were talking about you have a positive image, and then you've got this like corrupted, you have an anti-something. Pope and an anti-pope is sort of thing. You have a Christ and an antichrist. You have the lamb and the anti-lamb. You have like the second beast that had some of the features of the lamb, but it wasn't the lamb. It wasn't the true lamb. It was a corrupted version, a counterfeit of the original. Well, here we have the harlot. This is the first time we have the harlot mentioned. I guess you could call her other things. We'll just use harlot, I guess. That's probably it really is intended to be a very strong image. Maybe I should use more colorful words to describe her. We'll just stick with harlot, but do understand that this is meant to be not pornographic, but we're describing a very lewd person. So we kind of want to recognize that this is a wholly corrupted, wholly, wholly, entirely corrupted, woman of vice that is there. So the harlot of Babylon. So as we think about this image, if this is a counterfeit, it will be a counterfeit of what? We have already read in Revelation 12, we have the woman clothed in the sun. So we have this pure and beautiful image of Mary or the church. We kind of see this. But there's also going to be something coming up that we haven't gotten to yet. There's going to be the bride of the Lamb, the new and heavenly Jerusalem that comes out of heaven from God. So that, and we're going to get to that in Revelation 21. So we have the woman clothed in the sun, but we also will have the bride of the Lamb, spotless, immaculate, adorned for the bridegroom. And so we might call this really the counterfeit of the bride, that we have the harlot and then we have the bride, the adulteress versus the pure, spotless bride. So here we have a contrast that is here. Now the judgment is going to come upon the harlot, and then we're going to see the true bride of the Lamb revealed. But then comes this question, now the harlot, who are we possibly talking about? And this gets back into the whole question, as has so often come up, and we've kind of touched on this, is then who are we talking about here? And I've given my opinion that Jerusalem and the destruction of Jerusalem should be our fundamental historical event that we connect with these things. So I keep going back to Jerusalem. Even though we did have the dragon, which is explicitly called the tempter, the deceiver, the devil, or the evil one. And then we did have that one beast on the sea, which I think connected to the Roman Empire, but then we get the beast from the land, the false prophets, and I started to connect that back to Israel. Now the harlot, are we talking about Rome? Are we talking about Israel? Are we talking about Jerusalem? I think then we can go back to a few different passages, and I think what we'll end up doing today, we'll finish with just these passages to set the stage, to say, well then, who is this harlot that is there? And so we'll look at a couple different passages. This will help us connect it, because if we say, well, who else was referred to as a harlot? Like if it was the harlot of Babylon, well, you say, okay, well, that's Babylon then, right? Or is that Rome? Is that? But I think the one thing that you consistently see in the Old Testament is Israel could be oftentimes referred to as a harlot. If Israel was not true to the Lord, Israel was called to be in a covenant with God. I will be your God and you will be my people. You think about the covenant that was there. But what had happened so often, Israel would stray from the covenant. And whenever they strayed from their covenant, it gives you a kind of a marital image. It's sort of like a covenant of marriage in which a man and woman promise, they make their vows to one another. And so what do you call that? Infidelity, if they're not true to one another. So like the harlot is kind of what you see there, that sort of imagery. Well, that's the same sort of thing as when Israel isn't true to the Lord. So if Israel's unfaithful to the Lord, as so often happened, you know, then we get these different images in which we have Israel described as a harlot. Now, in the passage that I gave you, there's Jeremiah 51, which does make this reference to Babylon, to the harlot of Babylon. Come out of Babylon. Babylon is a cup, a golden cup in the hand of the Lord that made the whole earth drunk. And that's just a direct allusion that Revelation 17, chapter 2 is making. So the wine of whose fornications have made the dwellers of the earth drunk. So here's this Jeremiah referring to Babylon. He really means Babylon. That was in Jeremiah's time. That was the great controversy, is the Babylonian exile. So here's Babylon that has been, you know, in charge throughout the world. But then we get to Ezekiel 16 and Ezekiel 23. Two different passages from Ezekiel that go into excruciating detail describing the infidelity of Israel. Now, if you'd like to read the entire passage of Ezekiel 16 and then also Ezekiel 23, I mean, I'd encourage you to do that. Ezekiel 16 does come up in the cycle of reading, so we do hear it at Mass from time to time. But let's just say that a whole section of it just gets cut out. We don't hear the whole thing at Mass. When it does come up in the readings. Let me just kind of start off with this passage, Ezekiel 16. He says, so the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel so that they can speak to Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord God, by origin and birth, you are of the land of Canaan. So this is not, you know, so you're from humble origins. Your father was an Amorite, your mother was a Hittite. So again, peoples that were conquered. When the Hebrews came into the Promised Land, so he says, so this would not be a, this is not a compliment to say that your father was an Amorite, your mother was a Hittite. As for the day of your birth, the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut. You were neither washed with water nor anointed, nor were you rubbed with salt, nor swathed in swaddling clothes. No one looked on you with pity or compassion to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out on the ground as something loathsome the day you were born. I mean, it's a humbling of Israel. And he says, I passed by and I saw you weltering in your blood. And I said, live in your blood and grow like a plant in the field. You grew and developed and you came to the age of puberty. Your breasts were formed, your hair had grown, but you were still naked. Again, I passed by and I now saw that you were old enough for love. So I spread the corner of my cloak over you to cover your nakedness. I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you. You became mine, says the Lord. I bathed you with water. I washed away your blood. I anointed you with oil. I clothed you with an embroidered gown, put sandals of fine leather on your feet, and gave you a fine linen sash and silk robes to wear. Now, this is all an image of the way in which God came to his people and then chose them. In other words, they didn't deserve anything. They were as nothing, and yet, but God, in his goodness, came to them and loved them. And so it's important for Israel to be reminded of their humble origins so they never take that love for granted. Well, what happened? What happened is Ezekiel chapter 16 goes forward. Then, as we continue on, but you were captivated by your own beauty. How beautiful I am. And then what happened? You used your renown to make yourself a harlot, and you lavished your harlotry on every passerby, whose own you became. I'll let you figure out what that means. Okay, that's it. And then goes on, a very graphic description of saying, Israel, I loved you so much and gave you these things, but you took the things I gave you and then played the harlot with everyone around, and goes through the descriptions of various different lands around them. And I said, you know, and then even one of the insults to Israel, he says, the adulterous wife receives, instead of her husband, payment. At least a normal harlot gets paid for this. I mean, this is really quite forward. All harlots receive gifts, but you rather bestowed your gifts on all your lovers, bribing them to come to you from all sides for your harlotry. Thus, in your harlotry, you were different from all other women. No one sought you out for prostitution, since you gave payment instead of receiving it. How different you were! Therefore, harlot, hear the word of the Lord. And then, so I mean, it's just a very, very specific description. And then what happens is, instead, now the harlot is, says, now I'm those who came to you, who you tried to please. Instead, I will gather them against you from all sides and expose you as naked for them to see. I will inflict on you the sentence of the adulteresses and murderesses. murderesses. They shall lead an assembly against you. They will stone you, hack you with their swords. They shall burn your apartments with fire. And so all of a sudden, as a payment for that, as a punishment for that, and then goes on a lengthy description of the punishment that comes upon the harlot. So then she's so given all this beauty, misuses it, and then is crushed and reduced. Until at the end of this chapter, and this chapter is like 60 verses long. It's a long chapter with a long description. But then I will come back to you, and I will remember the covenant I made with you when you were a little girl. And I will reestablish that with you, that you may know that I am the Lord, that you may remember and be covered with confusion, and that you may be utterly silenced for shame when I pardon you for all you have done. It really is the question, giving the gifts. Israel's unfaithful, they're punished, but then God, in the end, brings restoration and salvation. It's a profound image there, and it's always Israel that is referred to in this way as this harlot. And then Ezekiel 23 gives another description in which there are two harlots that are there. One of them is Ohala and Ohalava. And one is a name used for Samaria and the other one for Jerusalem. And again, another description of what happened. All the harlotry that Jerusalem committed and all of the terrible things that they had done. Same types of things happened, that there was punishment and all these things that would come upon them because of their lewdness. But this is all part of the plan of the Lord. So I know that's kind of a lengthy description. And as we get into more detail with the harlot in Revelation 17, just understand that some of this is in the background, that we've got extraordinarily detailed depictions of Jerusalem as the harlot. Jerusalem is called to be the bride of the bridegroom, to be in a covenant with the Lord, and it's when they break that they become the harlot. But so instead, what we're now seeing in Revelation 17 is the judgment upon those that have been unfaithful, and then eventually we'll see the revelation of Israel redeemed, ransomed by God. We'll see the true bride descend out of heaven. So that kind of gives us an idea as to what we're looking at in Revelation 17. So we'll continue with that next time. And glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.